The book of 2 Kings, chapter number 4, beginning at verse number 29. We covet your prayers tonight. 2 Kings, chapter 4, and verse 29. The Bible said, "Then he said to Gehazi, gird up thy loins, take my staff in thy hand, and go thy way. If thou meet any man, salute him not. If any salute thee, answer him not again. And lay my staff upon the face of the child." And the mother of the child said, "As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee." And he arose and followed her. And Gehazi passed on before them, and laid the staff upon the face of the child, but there was neither voice nor hearing. Wherefore he went again to meet him, and told him, saying, "The child is not awaked." And I want you to pray for me tonight that the Lord would help us. Precious God of heaven, Lord, we do covet, God, your help, your anointing, your strength tonight to preach what you've laid on our heart. God, this great burden, Lord, it's here tonight to see somebody, God, salvaged and helped, God, from eternity. Reach down, Lord, and help us, God. Fill our lips. Help us in Jesus' precious name. Amen. We do appreciate these messages. Brother Neil's already mentioned that's so good. Brother Lynn Head, these other brethren. Just a privilege to be here and be with them and be with you tonight. The Lord dealt with my heart a couple days ago on these scriptures, and it seemed like today the stronger as the evening approached. But I want to preach, if the Lord would help us, on dangerous symptoms. Dangerous symptoms. You know, a symptom, I looked up in the dictionary, it said a symptom was evidence of a disease. Something that indicates the existence of something else. I called Brother Andy Harper. I believe they're here tonight. Amen. I see him waving at me. I called Brother Andy early this morning and talked with him a little bit. And I asked him some questions. Brother Andy is a diabetic. And so I called and I asked him some questions about that disease. And I asked him about some of the symptoms. When did he realize that he had this disease? And what are some of the things that he began to notice and that even now maybe he would notice? And how would somebody know if you started talking to them and they started telling you how they were feeling or what they were going through would make you think, well, they've probably got diabetes. They need to be checked. And as we begin to talk, he began to tell me about when he was even a young child. I think he was diagnosed at about 17. But before that, there was times he said that maybe he'd be come in from playing outside and just feel weak and tired and just have just a spell come on him. And he'd tell Sister Margaret about it. And they even maybe went to the doctor and they just told him, you know, he just playing too hard. But now looking back on it, he has those same spells and he realized those were symptoms of a problem that was working in his body. He told me about how when you're a diabetic, one of the signs a lot of people notice, they become very thirsty. And they can't get enough to drink. Some children, because of the great thirst they had, and of course, going to the restroom frequently and things of that nature. It was a warning symptom and sign that there was something wrong. Fatigue and maybe an injury, Brother Tim, a sore that won't heal, or something like that. It's a sign that something, a symptom that something is wrong. God has blessed really us, our bodies, in certain ways that they will tell us, if we'll listen to them, that there's something wrong. Many people has had, Brother Ronnie Carlton is going for a heart cath. The reason is because there was some warning symptoms. He couldn't hold out. He became weak. Maybe he became dizzy. These different things begin to happen, and he realized there's something wrong in my body. Amen. And I want to preach to us, if the Lord would help us, about symptoms that are dangerous and troubling. Amen. Not necessarily in the physical sense, but in the spiritual sense. Amen. Brother Neil's telling about how the Lord woke him up this morning and what the Lord showed him. And as he was beginning to tell us that, in my spirit, I felt like the Lord was speaking to my heart, saying it's not someone necessarily that is here that is not saved tonight, even though you may be here and not be saved and can be, but it's someone that is on the verge of backsliding. Someone that has been playing around, that has been playing the games and coming, but not where they need to be with God. And I want to preach to us about these troubling symptoms a little bit tonight. In our text, I read about this man by the name of Gehazi. I don't know all about him as far as the beginning of his life. Brother Bobby, the Bible doesn't tell us a whole lot. We just kind of pick him up as he is a servant to Elisha. We know that Elisha was a servant to Elijah. And how that one day he was plowing with those 12 yoke of oxen, and the prophet came by and smote him with that garment, and he left all that he had. He burnt the plow and he cooked the cow, and he followed the man of God and become a servant to him. And when that great day came that Elijah was taken away into heaven, amen, he received a double portion of the Spirit of God. And so Elisha knew what it meant not to just be a prophet and a leader, but he also knew what it meant to be a servant. He'd been through that time and he'd been through that experience. And so now Gehazi has become his servant. I don't know how long he had been his servant and been ministering to him, but I really feel like he had the same zeal and desire to do right and do good that Elisha had when he was first a servant. I feel like he did not do it with ulterior motives. I don't feel like he even done it to be exalted or anything else, but maybe with a broken and a contrite spirit, he felt the Lord come by and deal with his heart. And he felt the Lord tell him, amen, you need to follow after this man of God. Amen, you need to be a minister to him. Do you remember that time in your life? Amen, when the Lord came by, maybe in a camp meeting, maybe in a revival service, and you begin to feel conviction. Amen, you were so touched by it. You went to the altar and you sold out. Amen, you give your heart to the Lord. Amen, and you made commitments. Maybe you told the Lord, Lord, I'll give up anything this world has if you'll just save me. God, if you'll deliver me from alcohol, if you'll deliver me, if you'll put my home back together. God, if you'll just save me, if you don't do nothing else, if you just save my soul from hell, Lord, I'll serve you all the days of my life. And when you got up from that altar, amen, there was nothing that could persuade you any different. Amen, you spent time in prayer. You had a dedicated life. When the preacher began to preach about old time purity and sanctification, amen, somebody said, you know, amen, we're struggling in the holiness movement with standards. But the truth of the matter is, when people get saved, they don't struggle with standards. I can preach to folks that's been in church for years. Amen, I'm trying to keep them modest. I'm trying to preach to them and keep the world out of their home and their life. Amen, come on here now. But when somebody really gets saved, that new convert comes in, they might not know anything about holy living, but all you got to do is preach to them and show them in the Bible what it means about living a separated life. Amen, they're so excited. They say, amen, that's what I want. You remember when the holiness preaching affected you that way? Amen, instead of getting upset, instead of getting quiet, instead of pulling back, amen, you jumped to your feet and you shouted, preach, preacher, that's what we need. Amen, when they started preaching on the clothesline. Amen, you know nowadays you'll call you a clothesline preacher. Amen, well I've got a sermon. Amen, the name of it is the clothesline. And that way if anybody ever says I'm a clothesline preacher, I can tell them it's so. Amen, you can go all through the Word of God and see man's very first invention that he ever tried to make, which when he took fig leaves and sewed them together, and that invention was a failure. Amen, but I tell you, when you get saved and they get to preaching to you about living a holy life, about being sanctified, about being filled with the Holy Ghost, there's such a desire in your heart that you're willing to do whatever it takes, amen, to go to any extent to be filled with the power of God.
it seems like he's not quite as anointed as he used to be. After the singing of Amazing Grace, does no longer bring a tear to your eye when you start going through the motions, when you start losing that desire, there is a danger sign going on. Amen. I feel like Gehazi was very sincere. Amen, brother and brother Perryman. I feel like when Gehazi would come and minister to him, amen, his heart was tender. His desires was pure. He wanted to be a good servant. And I don't know when or how or where, but all of a sudden he began to lose that first love. Amen. You gotta agree with me. Amen. Especially these preachers that go and preach at different churches and meetings. Amen. When you go to a place and you preach a revival. Amen. Maybe you go back a year or two later and you preach to the same people. But yep, there's several that's not there. There's several that seem to be barely hanging on. There's several that seem to be in the valley of decision. Amen. It's discouraging. And it makes you say, Lord, help us to get a hold of something that we can preach to the people. Amen. I preach to people. Amen. The church I pastor, I done told you, I feel like there's some of the best people on the face of God's earth. But I'll be honest with you, it rips my heart out. Amen. When I preach to them, and even hear them testify at times, and stand up and say, hey, I know I'm not doing what I need to do, and I know I need to do better. Amen. But there's no change in their life. And you know what it tells me? There's a dangerous symptom right there. For him that not to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin.
Amen. Gehazi, I feel like, was so sincere. But all of a sudden we see in this text a warning symptom, a dangerous sign. For, amen, this story backs up in the fourth chapter and starts telling us about this woman that prepared a chamber. And they would go by there, Gehazi and Elisha, and they would abide in that chamber. It was furnished. There was meals provided. It was a great place to escape and get away and have provision for just a little while. And one day he gets to the prophet of the Lord, gets to inquiring, what can we do, amen, for this woman? All the kindness that she showed us, all these great things, Brother Ralph, that she's done with love and benevolence for this man of God, what can I do? And it was Gehazi that made the suggestion, amen, her husband is old and she is barren and they do not have a child. I feel like that was a sincere, amen, thing. I don't feel like he was just, you know, trying to build up a name or anything. I feel like he looked at the situation and he looked at the prophet and he said, well, have you considered this? Amen. Oh, I tell you, when you serve the Lord, there's been times in your life that the Lord has looked at you. Amen. And he's blessed you. Amen. And gave you things. Amen. Just because it was his good pleasure. He saw you serving him. He saw you trying to live a life. And he sent down what you needed and more. The Lord blessed her. The prophet called her in. And about that time, a year later, she bare a son. And the Bible said that time went by. Amen. Several years. For it said, and the child was grown. Amen. And it fell on a day that they were out in the field. And the child began to say, oh, my head, my head. They carried him home to his mother. And there the child died, amen, on her knees. And so when this happened, she puts him on the bed. She puts him in that man of God's chamber. She shuts to the door. And then she gets ready and she starts going to find that man of God. Several years has gone by. But no doubt there's been many times that Gehazi and Elisha has stopped by. And what she is noticing is there's something different
about Gehazi. Amen. You may not notice it when you see somebody every day, day in and day out. But I tell you, when you see them at camp meeting 1 year and they're shouting down the aisle, you see them at camp meeting 1 year and they're wanting to sing in the choir. You see them at camp meeting 1 year and they're wanting to pray with the sick. You see them and they're trying to push and get in. And then a year later, they're sitting in the back. A year later, you can't get them to lift their hands. A year later, amen, they don't hardly be, are not faithful to the house of God. You know what? It's a sign. There's something wrong.
Amen. And I feel like every now and then when they come by, it went from the greeting, maybe Gehazi would say, "Hey, how are you? God sure is good. He's blessed us today." I mean, he was excited about it. And maybe a little time go by, a year or so come by. Amen. He'd say, "Hey, how are you? Amen. Hey, I'm doing all right." A little more time would go by. "Well, we're back. I tell you, I'm wore out. It sure is a hard way to live. Amen. I tell you, I'm just about to, I'm about ready to give up and quit." I tell you, that has never been a solution to the problem of fighting against the devil. I told somebody not long ago, I got so tired of people standing up talking about the devil just told me to quit and give up, and the devil's just been telling me it ain't worth it. I don't guess any time since I've ever been saved has the devil ever listened to the devil. Has he ever made me want to quit? He's made me want to fight. He's made me want to pray. But I've never looked at a situation and said, "I think the solution to this is to get out of church." No! The solution isn't to get out of church. The solution is not to quit praying or to move to the back. I'll tell you where the solution is. Realize, hey, I've got a problem and I've got to pray through. Amen. And she, I feel like she noticed a change. So much so that now that that child is dead, she starts toward that man of God. And when Elisha sees her coming, he sends Gehazi. "I want you to go and I want you to inquire of her. How is everything?" And so he does. He goes out and meets her. "Is everything well?" She said, "All is well." Amen. "I don't know." Amen. But then when she got to the prophet, amen, she began to let him know, "My son is dead." You know, if I would have been Gehazi, what I'd have done, I'd have said, "Why didn't she tell me that? Come on here now. Didn't she have confidence in me? Didn't she think, amen, that I can pray and seek the Lord and get a burden for her need? Why didn't she tell me he sent me?" But I don't see no concern. Then another symptom, another warning. Amen. He gives her, amen, that staff. Amen, that staff. Brother, if you don't mind. He gives her that staff and says, "I want you to take this to where that child is." And this is the instructions from the man of God. He said, "Take the staff and lay it on the child." Amen. In other words, I'm going to heal that child. If you obey me and do what I tell you to do, God's going to raise it up. He made the trip. Amen. Don't talk to anybody on your way. Make the trip. He made the trip, and when he got there, he laid that rod down on top of that child, and the child did not wake up. The child did not wake up. Doesn't it disturb you when you pray and they don't get healed? When you pray and God doesn't move in the service? When you rebuke the devil and it gets worse? It ought to be a warning sign to us. Amen. When God gives us direction, when God speaks to us, and we do what he says, and yet there is no movement, it lets me know something's wrong. Oh, that Gehazi right then would have fell on his face and begin to cry out and say, "Lord, search my heart." Amen. I mean, we make every excuse for why something doesn't happen. Amen. It's somebody else's unbelief.
It's because the hour we're living in. It's this and we lay it to that. But oh, that we could get honest enough to look in the mirror and say, Lord, help me. Lord, search my heart. Lord, see if there's any unclean thing in me.
It's easy to search everybody else's heart. It's easy to look at everybody else and say, well, if they do this, tell you what, they'd be closer to God. But where are the results in our life? And so Gehazi, I don't read about any repentance. Amen. I read where the man of God comes, and you know the story, how he lays there with a child and God raises that child from the dead. He tells Gehazi, go call the mother. Call her and let her come in and take her son. Amen. But still, we don't read about Gehazi asking God, why are you not moving in my life? If you're not careful, you'll go a week, you'll go a month, you'll go service after service and not feel the presence of God. And never get stirred up enough to fall on your face and say, God, why? Amen. Somebody said, you know, well, I believe it's not all in the feelings, and we got to walk by faith. I agree we do have to walk by faith. And I agree that not every day that we wake up, that we might not just feel like shouting on the mountaintops. But I tell you, I've been in some dark places. One of the darkest places I was ever in my life. And in the middle of it, amen, I fell on my face and I was praying and weeping and seeking God. And I tell you, I felt the Holy Ghost move on me. The storm did not calm down. Amen. Things didn't get any better right then. Amen. But I knew in the middle of that storm, He was with me. Amen. Don't use it for an excuse to say, well, if you was facing what I was facing, amen, you wouldn't be able to feel God either. I don't believe that. I believe in the middle of your storm, you can pray through. In the middle of the onslaught of hell, amen, you can have a move of God. And if you don't, it ought to trouble you. It ought to stir you. It ought to make you fall on your knees and seek God.
These symptoms that was coming in his life was warnings to him. Something's not right. This woman, this Shunammite woman, she doesn't have confidence in you, undoubtedly. You've obeyed and you've done this, but it's not working. But did he ever find a place to pray through? I tell you how I feel about it. I feel like God loves you and me so much. Brother Tommy, if Brother Tommy Guthrie, if his feet start straying from the path, God loves him so much, he's going to deal with him and say, you're stepping in the wrong direction. And I cannot believe that the God of heaven did not come down. It didn't just all start in that next chapter. It didn't just all start when the Naaman, the leper came and he was recovered of his leprosy. And then we read about Gehazi going after him, after the man of God had refused a reward. After he said, I don't want that money. I don't want anything you've got. You know why? It was contaminated. Amen. The garments of a leper were contaminated. They were to be burnt. Amen. They were to be destroyed. They held within the fibers of them that very disease. But you know what? Amen. The man of God said, we don't want it. But Gehazi, amen, he said, I can't believe he's turned down this opportunity. Doesn't he know we can further the gospel? Doesn't he know we can help ourselves? We can sell that and we can do this. And he went after him and he lied to him. Man of God's changed his mind. Give us some changes of garments. Amen. Give us a little bit of silver. Give us this and give us that. And when he came back and stood before the man of God, amen, he said, where did you go? Where have you been? I haven't been anywhere. Oh, yes, you did. For did not the Spirit of the Lord, amen, go with you? Amen. You took that bribe. You took that contaminated thing. And he went out from his presence a leper. He went from being sincere. He went He went from being true to being a leper. But how many times in that journey from being where God wanted him to being full of leprosy, how many times, Brother Ernest, along that wrong path, did God come down and deal with him and say, don't do it. Come on, help me. You can't tell me, sister, amen, when you went and put those scissors in your hair, that the Holy Ghost of heaven did not stand right beside you and plead with you and say, don't do it. Don't do it. You can't tell me, amen, when you took that rouge, that powder, somebody said it's just base. Amen. When you took that makeup, amen, you put it on your face, you can't tell me that the God of heaven did not come down and say, you don't need that. But if you override it, if you keep on pushing it aside, before long it's a little easier. Before long you don't just do it or wear it at home, but you take it into the marketplace. And before long, you get a little bolder with it. Amen. And you get where you don't care. And you tell everybody, hey, I prayed about it. But I want to ask you the first time, when God dealt with your heart, when the Spirit of the Lord was on you, amen, what did you feel then? Amen. Oh, come on. What about it, sir? When you sit in front of that computer, amen, and your fingers took you places you did not need to go. Don't tell me that the Holy Ghost wasn't right by your side telling you, don't push that button. Don't go to that place. Don't look at that. But when you override it, the next time it gets probably easier. The next time it gets where, amen, you don't worry about it as much. And before long, men lose their families. Men lose their wives. Amen, homes are broken up. Ministries are destroyed. Don't tell me God wasn't there warning them and putting symptoms in their life. My chest is hurting. My arm's hurting. I can't breathe good. I've just broke out. Brother Jimmy Hall told me, he said, I knew something was wrong when he had a heart attack. He said, I was just walking across the yard. I wasn't doing anything. He said, I went from standing there to being completely soaked in a sweat in a moment's time. And he said, I knew something was wrong. I'm covered in sweat. I can't breathe. My chest is hurting. My arms hurting. But there's nothing wrong with me. There's nothing wrong with me. Come on, help me while I preach. I mean, you know what we do? Hey man, if Brother Neil was having all those symptoms right now, we'd say, somebody pray. Somebody call 911. We gotta get help. We either gotta get a doctor or a pastor or both. We gotta get help. He's in trouble. I tell you, somebody needs to spiritually dial 911. You're in trouble. Hey man, you're in trouble. You're headed over that abyss. You're headed over that Russian current. Hey man, will you stop while there is time? Several of you that, you know, that read books, you've read that story about that eagle that came down and landed on that sheep that was on that block of ice floating down that Niagara River. Amen. Landed on it. And as the water splashed around about him and he began to eat that carcass. Amen. Getting closer to the falls. Amen. Warning all around him. The roar is coming in. Amen. Everything within him says leave. But he just keeps on ignoring. And finally at the last few minutes, seconds, he decides to spread those great wings and lift off and fly away. But unbeknownst to the eagle, his feet had become frozen on that block of ice. And over the edge he went. Amen. Where are you at tonight in this service? Amen. Where are you at tonight? Are you becoming frozen? Are you ignoring all the symptoms? Amen. It's time to respond to those symptoms that the Lord keeps sending your way. I'm going to try to hurry and give us a chance to pray. When the preaching that you used to enjoy begins to agitate you. Hey, I pastored a young man for a while. When he got saved, Brother Neil, Brother Ralph, it didn't matter what I preached, how I preached it. He loved holiness. He'd stand with me. He'd help me. Time went on, and amen, one service, the Lord had moved on me, and I got to preaching some about the evil effects of television, how we didn't need one. I was just preaching and teaching about it, and I noticed a different response. Amen. Time went on, and he would sing specials and things, and the Lord just wasn't anointing him. Did the Lord used to anoint you when you sung, but he's not anointing you now? Did he used to anoint you when you preached, but he's not anointing you now? Don't you think it's time to pray until you find out why? We've all had to do it. And I got to preaching. He kept on after a couple of months one day. He wanted to see me in my office, and we went in and began to talk. And he told me, he said, when we got married, my wife's husband, my wife's daddy, bought us a television for our marriage deal, because he found out we didn't have one. So we took it, and we didn't want to hurt his feelings, and we just stuck it back. Said, but in time, we can pull it out. We'd hear about a movie coming on. We'd hear about some national crisis or some event. And then from that, it just got to where it'd stay on. Oh, come on, help me while I preach. And he said a few days ago, sitting at the dinner table, before I could get up and get to it, my house was filled with cursing and with nudity. He said, we got up and turned it off. And he said, the Lord's been dealing with me about getting rid of that thing. I encouraged him and I said, well, brother, I believe it'd be the best thing you could do. He said, pray for me that when I talk to my wife, everything will go good. I don't know how the conversation went. But I know for about a week or two or a month or two, he sung, he shouted, God blessed him. Then everything locked back up. And I got to preaching one Sunday, and just in my sermon, I came across and he was on his feet, and I mentioned something about getting rid of the television. When I did, his whole countenance changed, and he sat down. Hey, man, can I tell you tonight, if he would have listened to those warning signs, he would not be in the place he is now. And when God starts dealing with you through the preaching and through testimonies and through the Word of God, you need to listen to what God's telling you. Amen. Would you stand to your feet tonight? Lord, help us in this altar, please, Jesus. I love you with all my heart. And I wouldn't preach anything to single you out or just hurt you openly. That's not in my heart. My people can tell you I'm not that kind of person. But I tell you what I am for. I am for that Spirit of God that's been dealing with your heart, for you to respond to that tonight. Brother Steve, I've picked up some things, and every time I put my hand on them and brought them in and picked them up, I've been feeling God saying, don't do that. Don't go that way. But I keep overriding it. And now I can't feel the Lord. I don't have that zeal I used to have. I'm not praying like I used to pray. And the truth is, in my heart, I know why. Gehazi, please stop. Something's wrong with you. Oh, Brother Neil, have you ever went to somebody as a pastor and you felt such a burden and you said, I'm really praying for you? And they said, everything's all right.
Oh, yeah, don't worry about me.
Don't worry about me.
Oh, yeah, don't worry about me. Everything's okay.
Everything's okay.
Yes, sir.
And you know it's not.
You know it.
And you're pleading and praying and worried. And before long, they're out the door. And before long, the home's divided. Amen. My heart's been burdened today. Amen. For a young man I prayed for him several times. If God don't move in his life, amen, he's headed into destruction. Amen. I want to tell you, you're here today. God's been dealing with you. It's time to respond. Amen. Church, let's pray right now. Lord, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I've done my best. Oh, I've tried to preach, Lord, what you've given me, Lord. I've tried to preach in my heart. Oh, I'm praying, move in these altars. Oh, while the church is praying, there's one that's with an honest heart. I could care less who's around you. I'm going to tell you, if you're from West Side, don't you worry about this big crowd. If you feel like praying, I'm telling my people, come on and pray. If you're here and you say, hey, I'm not where I want to be or need to be. I picked up some things. God's dealt with me. I'm not doing like I need to. Amen. God bless. Oh, God bless. Oh, that's my daughter. Oh, these are your children. What about it, Mom and Dad? Where are you at tonight? How far have you gone? How long has it been since you felt God? Oh, the warning signs, will you come? Oh, the warning signs, will you come? Will you come? Will you come?
Oh. Won't you come on tonight? I still feel like somebody is heading toward the cliff. Here's a warning going out. The symptoms are there. You know they are. Why don't you step out and come on right now? Praise God. Sing for us, please. Oh, come on, come on, come on. Come on. Won't you come on? Won't you come, son? Come on, son. Step out. Come on now. Come with us now. Come on. Don't hold back. My soul hath no pleasure in them that draws back. Oh, won't you come on? What about it tonight? Come this way. Come this way. Don't go away from him. Oh, leave us not. Let's pray. Come on, let's pray. Let's pray. Let's pray. Let's pray, saints. Come, let's pray, saints of God. Help us tonight. Would you come? Oh, I feel like begging a little bit more. I feel like pleading a little bit more. I feel like standing by the side and hollering, don't go no farther. Come now, turn around before it's too late. Come on. Please come.